Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, welcome to Best Show Best, the best of the best show. And you can find out more about the best show over at thebestshow.net. It airs live every Tuesday night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Standard Time. And if you're new to the program, this show, these are little bite-sized bits and greatest hits type samples of what we do every week. So if you like this, maybe you check out the full show. And if you want to support The Best Show, we have a Patreon set up over at patreon.com/thebestshow. That is how you support the program. It is listener-sponsored now, and you give what you can, and we appreciate it. And there are prizes and benefits at all different levels of giving. So, again, go to patreon.com/thebestshow and support the show. And now, please, without further ado, check out this episode of Best Show Best. I welcome you, each and every one of you, to the year 2018. Welcome! Let's start it off, see what's what. Best Show, hi!
Hey, Tom, how's it going?
It's going well. To whom am I speaking?
This is James in Conshohocken.
James in where now?
Conshohocken, Pennsylvania.
Conshohocken, Pennsylvania. Where is that?
It's like northern Philadelphia, or right just north of Philadelphia.
You could say Philly, right?
Philly, yeah, I'm a local.
You see, that's the thing. You got a little too local on me.
Sorry.
Like you're giving directions to the gas station or something.
Say Philly.
This is a worldwide show, my friend.
No, you're right.
You're talking to the world. You're not in the Walgreens parking lot telling somebody where to go. You're talking to the world, my friend.
Oh, hello, world.
You just say Philly.
Yeah, I'm going to pretend like I'm from Philly. You know, that's like anybody from the state of Massachusetts from outside Boston. I don't want to be one of those people. Mm-hmm.
I got you. Look, I get it. Fair enough. Well, to what do I owe the pleasure of this call, young man?
First I wanted to say, you know, hope you had a happy holiday, and I hope 2018 is treating you well. I was wondering if you had any New Year's resolutions, because I'm struggling through the first few days of one.
We'll get into that. I'll talk about me as the show goes on. What's your deal? What are you? Are you not sure what you're going to do this year?
Well, I've committed to next week finally bite the bullet on a big choice I've been hoping to make for a while.
What's that?
I'm having both of my legs replaced with blue e-cigarettes.
Ah, yes. Great way to start the year. Great way to start the year. I like it. That guy thinks I don't like it. Like, he hangs up. I'll talk all night to you, to the e-cigarette guy. E-cigs for legs. He's a legend. He got me. Got Mike, got me. He's a trickster. An old-fashioned trickster. Right, Mike? Not unlike old Jack Scratch. You knew what I'm talking about, right? The devil. He mixes truth with lies. Sneaks through, gets his e-cig for leg call, and then he hangs up. Best Show, hi.
Hey, Tom. This is Devin from Massachusetts. How you doing tonight?
What's up, Dennis? What's going on in Massachusetts tonight?
Oh, not a lot. It's a pretty warm night, just hanging out. Had one for the topic, but I call in.
Yeah, what do you got?
I would pay to see Nardwar interview Garrison Keillor.
You would want to see Nardwar, the human serviette, from British Columbia, Canada, from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, interview.
He sure is.
Garrison Keillor.
Yes.
That is the funniest thing I've ever heard. I think it might go a little something like this. Hold on. Might go a little something like this.
Nardwar!
This is Nardwar from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Who are you?
This is Garrison.
I can't do this time. Okay, I'm tired. Don't make me. But it's a great idea, my friend. Thank you for the call, Dennis. I appreciate it. Best show. Hi.
Hi.
To whom am I speaking?
You're speaking to Mia Snyder.
What's your first name?
Mia.
Mm-hmm. What's up, Mia?
Not much.
Are you enjoying the summer?
Yeah. May I please speak to Gary?
Gary's not here tonight. I wish he was. He's not.
Oh.
He'll be here in a couple weeks, so you call back, Mia. I'm not feeling great. All of a sudden, I'm not feeling great. Hold on, wait. Somebody's knocking at the door. All right. Pull it together, Tom. The kids need you. Hold on.
Who is Hello? It?
Wait, hold on, Mia. Somebody's here.
Okay.
Hello? It's me! Who is this?
Dun, 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 dun. Mike sucks.
That's the nicest thing I ever heard. Don't.
Mike sucks. Mike sucks.
I love it. I love it. Mike sucks, and everybody knows it.
You're the coolest ever.
Who, Mike? Or me?
Tom,
yeah.
You're just joking.
I'm just joking.
You're just joking. You hear that, Mike? He's just joking.
Play along.
Mike sucks. Let's do it one more time.
Mike sucks.
How old are you?
How old are you?
Oh, I'm 7.
7? Yeah, I think I hear Dyfus knocking on the door. Tell Dad.
Buddy?
Yeah. I love it. Don't say words like that, though. It's bad. Except when you're talking about Mike. What's your favorite subject in school?
I like math.
Okay, you're good at math. What's 3 + 3?
It's 6.
Yeah.
Obviously.
What's 9 times 9?
What?
9 times 81. 9. 81? Hold on. How about that? Carry the thing. That's right. What's Dad saying now?
Give him a piece of your mind.
Give me a piece of your mind.
Do you climb trees?
Yeah. But I drive a car.
And a car. Drive it.
Okay, yeah. I know what you look like, and I know what you sound like. Just, I've never seen you in real life.
Yeah. Well, where are you?
I don't know.
What state are you in?
I'm in Parkdale, Oregon.
Yeah, Oregon. I'm not out there. I'm in New Jersey.
Tell me you're going to Florida tomorrow.
I'm going to Florida tomorrow, though.
You are? What are you going to do down there?
I have family down there.
Do you have a shrimp connect?
No.
No? Mike has one.
I do a lot of baseball. I do a lot of soccer, too.
Okay. What position do you play in baseball?
I play coach pitch.
What? What do you play?
Coach pitch.
Thomas Middle Ditch? What?
I say you're the coach,
Middle Ditch. Are you sure you're playing baseball?
Yes.
Not some weird game your dad's making up.
You're a coach and a pitcher.
I'm a coach and a pitcher.
Now with your team, do you have a pitcher, right?
Yes.
Do you have a belly itcher?
Yes.
All right. I got to get going, but do it one more time for me.
Mike sucks.
Classic. Classic. Have a great trip to Florida.
Yes. I don't know what to say.
Say thank you.
Thank you.
Mike.
Oh, that kid gave you the business, Mike. Best show, hi.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm good. To whom am I speaking?
This is Tom from Brooklyn.
Tom from Brooklyn. What's going on out there in Brooklyn? What neighborhood in Brooklyn are you in?
Bed-Stuy.
Bed-Stuy.
Indeed.
Good neighborhood, right?
Yeah, it's nice. There's not that much of anything over by my place other than other apartments. There's a good restaurant, good vegan place around the corner, but that's about it.
That sounds good.
Yeah, it's a pretty nice spot.
So what's going on tonight?
Well, I wanted to briefly talk to you about John Taffer from Bar Rescue.
Yes, okay. Now you got my attention.
So, there's an interview with him in the New York Times from a couple of years ago that is just, it's mind-blowing. It's not a very long interview. And he starts off sort of self-aggrandizing, as you would sort of expect from John Taffer, talking about how his show is Shakespearean, talking about how the plot line of his episodes of Bar Rescue emulate Shakespeare.
It is it is Shakespearean in one way. When I watch it, I get bored and glaze over and can't wait for it to end. And it feels a half hour too long.
Yeah, that seems about right.
So in that way, it is not unlike the Bard, right? You know what the Bard once said?
What did he say?
All the world is a stage, and we are merely players.
John Taffer's probably said that a few times.
Is that what the Bard
himself
said? Pat? Okay. Dudio? Is Mike there? Mike, did the Bard say that? The Bard believes the Bard said that. Okay.
Well, the real gem of this interview is at the very end, when he talks about this time, the two times that he ever cried in a bar.
The first time, host of Bar Rescue, ever cried in a bar.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm all ears. Tell me.
All right. So the first time that he cried in a bar was in a nightclub that he describes as the greatest nightclub ever built, called Pulsations, that had a spaceship that flew into the room and deposited a robot on the dance floor. Yeah. And he said, to see this robot come out, it was the closest to a religious experience that I've seen without it being religious.
All right, that's where did you get this interview from?
This is from the New York Times in February of 2016.
Okay, so he saw a robot. He saw a spaceship drop a robot off on a dance floor at a club called Pulsations.
Yeah.
And then he, that was the closest he ever came to a religious experience.
Yes.
If you go to one of the bars Mike works at, you can see something similar to that. Although instead of it being a spaceship that a robot comes out of, it's vomit coming out of the... It's some sort of projectile coming of your, I think your choice, actually. You can choose at this point.
There's a YouTube video.
Yeah? There's a YouTube video called what? Hold on. Mike's telling me there's a thing of Pulsations with the robot. Hold on.
I haven't actually seen this.
Pulsations Nightclub Robot. Hold on. First of all, I'm going to say you, young man. What's your name again? Keith? What is it?
Tom.
Tom, that's right. Yeah, okay, I'm looking at this now. This seems stupid.
I'm watching along with you.
This is a religious experience for this guy. Yeah. Yeah, watching this dumb robot. It looks like the robot from Rocky IV. It's like Paulie's robot from Rocky IV.
So probably the same era, I think.
Yeah. Can you believe this? Who would think this is good? Oh, because there's the spaceship. The spaceship's very impressive, I will say.
Yeah, it's a little like the P-Funk mothership.
It's kind of like Masses. The giant spaceship hovers over. And a robot lowers down. Now there's a lady dancing with the robot. I think it is the Rocky IV robot. Falling on hard times. Rocky IV robot didn't know how to budget its money out. Stuck working at Pulsations now. I must work at Pulsations. I thought that the Rocky IV money would last forever. I didn't realize that residuals work differently for non-primary cast members. I thought I was plus five in terms of dialogue. So that's what he said. What's the second time he cried? I'm telling you right now, buddy. If you say anything about e-cigarettes for legs, I'm going to get you.
Not a chance.
I'm warning you. Because I'm going to say this. There's this clown who calls the show. And he'll string me along. He'll start talking all about this, that, the other thing. Makes me all responsive to everything he's saying. Then suddenly he mentions this, the e-cigarettes for legs, and he hangs up. And now, I'm not worried about him. I'm worried about the weird copycats now that have started.
I would have never read an entire interview with John Taffer just so I could spoil it by saying e-cigarettes for legs at the end.
Well, you just said it, so that might have been you getting your jollies. Go ahead. What's the second time he cried? Let me hear what the second time Bar Rescue host John Taffer cried at a bar was what?
So I'll read the direct quote for you, and he says, "The other time I cried at a bar was at the Troubadour in West Hollywood. A band performed a song, and it was just so remarkable that it brought tears to my eyes. The band was The Knack, and the song was My Sharona."
The dumbest thing I ever heard. John Taffer watching The Knack do My Sharona, just crying.
In tears.
In tears. Good for him.
You know what?
What's that?
That would be one of the worst songs to get beat up to now that I think of it.
My Sharona would be a pretty bad song to get beat up to. That's a good one. You brought it, my friend.
Do what I can.
You have a grand evening.
You do that.
Best Show. Hi.
Hey, Tom. How are you tonight?
I'm good. To whom am I speaking?
You're speaking to Quentin from Los Angeles.
Quentin from Los Angeles. Can I now? Are you famous? You're not famous, are you?
Not that I know of. No. Hopefully.
Because there's a Quentin who's the Burt Reynolds' son is named Quentin. You're not Burt Reynolds' son.
You know what? I'm not gonna confirm or deny that.
Okay, you won't confirm or deny whether you're Burt Reynolds' son. I'm going to assume you're not. I'm just going to take the leap on this.
Yeah, that's a safe assumption.
Yeah, so what's up? Where in L.A. are you? Let me see if I can guess.
Sure.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
Where is it now? Where are you?
I'm in a town called Monterey Park. It's closest to basically East LA.
Monterey Park?
Yeah.
Now, what's out there?
A lot of restaurants. Nothing really special.
Oh, there's an area of LA that's got a ton of restaurants? Oh, that stretch of L.A. that's just food?
Yeah.
Food-based?
Yeah, you know that one?
Yeah. The food economy in Los Angeles, the only thing keeping that city going.
Yeah, that's what we got going for us.
Yeah. So what's up, Quentin? What do you got for the topic tonight?
Okay, I got a few, but chiefly, and it's one that has been just popping up more and more lately, at least in my circle of...
Yo, what is it? Just say, what are you doing, a preamble okay. here? What are you trying to
there is a huge time
on the Senate floor?
Yeah, right. I'm trying to filibuster you, Tom. It's people who spend their time uploading videos online dissecting every bit of minutia of a performance. So on YouTube, there are these people who post these videos about understanding, and I'm not making this up. I see this thumbnail a lot. It just says understanding Dave Grohl, and I look at the time, mm-hmm. and it's 12 minutes long. Mm-hmm. And you need 30 seconds to understand Dave Grohl, in my opinion. But there's a whole subset of people.
What are you
going to
do with the other 20 seconds of that 30 seconds? Right?
Yeah, precisely. But there's all these people writing blogs and talking about these things and about just people's performances or singing and things, mm-hmm. and they just discuss it to the point of inanity.
Yeah. Now, what's your favorite Dave Grohl song? What's your favorite song? Is it the one where he goes, I got another good fish in the bank? That one?
Yeah.
Is that one where he bellows and then
that one where he yells,
all the instruments come in at the same level? That one? You know that song?
Where everything's compressed to be the exact same loudness as his fellow? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, that guy seems like a nice enough guy, right?
I'm sure. He's in a lot of documentaries. That doesn't just happen.
Yeah, no, that does just happen, actually. I'm going to actually completely disagree with you. It does just... It happens because he will talk about anything. It's like, all right, we got Dave. Like, he sits down. They roll out a fake backdrop of LPs behind him, like a fake wall of LPs. It's like, all right, Dave, we're going to do, we got 14 documentaries you said you'd be a part of for today. All right, let's do, this is for the ZZ Top documentary. And then he's like, okay, action. He's like, ZZ Top, are you effing kidding me? Those guys are the reason I'm in a band. He'll be like, Tush, are you effing kidding me? That song's the greatest song ever. And cut. Okay, now we're going to do the Go-Go's. Action.
The Go-Go's? Are you effing kidding me? It's the best band ever. We Got the Beat. I wouldn't be in a band if it wasn't for We Got the Beat. And cut. All right, Dave. Coming up next, what do we got here? Culture Club. We're doing the Culture Club documentary. Gotcha. Culture Club? Are you effing kidding me? Karma Chameleon? I wouldn't be in an effing band if it wasn't for Culture Club. Cut. Okay, Dave. Now we're going to do Falco for the Falco documentary. Action. Falco? Are you effing kidding me? That guy effing ruled. Rock Me Amadeus? I wouldn't be in an effing band if it wasn't for that song. Yeah.
What do you think the odds are that somebody just slips one in there that they just made up completely?
I'd say the odds are zero. That actually, now you're pushing the reality of this thing way too far. It's zero.
I apologize.
Well, actually, me saying zero, that's not an odd. That's not an odd. Zero. 10 billion to 1. There you go. There are your odds. Get off my phone. Night of 1,000 Pardos. You all know Don Pardo, the guy who does who did the announcing on Saturday Night Live, where he'd be like, "It's Saturday Night Live," like that. Everybody can pretty much do a Don Pardo impression. So you call in, you do it as if you can say as if somebody's a cast member, as if they're the musical guest or the host. And you could do real people. Night of 1,000 Pardos. And you do one, and then I'll see if you keep going. And if you do the first one well, I'll let you do a second one. Then you're just going to get... Then you're just going to get the axe. But we'll see how long you can string them together. Best Show, hi.
What's going on, Tom? Zach in Buffalo.
Zach in Buffalo. Let's just get right to the thing here. What do you got?
All right. A musical guest, spoken word from Henry Rollins.
All right. That keeps you alive. The impression's not so hot, but okay. What else? Let's hear another one.
And your host, Kevin Smith.
That would be the weirdest episode of SNL. Kevin Smith is the host, and the musical guest is Henry Rollins doing spoken word. You got one more?
Yeah. Story, Macaulay Culkin.
All right, now you're done. Guy made it to 3. 3's the most so far, that guy. Guy did it. Best Show, hi.
Hi, I'm here to do the Night of 1,000 Pardos.
Now, what's your name now?
My name is Farad.
Farad? All right, let's hear what you got, Farad.
Okay. It's Saturday Night Live with a musical guest, Cher.
All right, keep going.
I was about to do one name here. Okay, so Phil Hartman, Tracy Morgan, Dennis Miller, Kevin Nealon, Jan Hooks, and starring Elliot Gould.
Okay, that's very good. This guy's in the lead so far. All right, thanks, buddy.
No problem.
This video is basically MC Hammer's in a Speedo, a leopard skin Speedo, wearing like sunglasses and black gloves at like an outdoor pool. He's got gloves. It's like, what are you, the Boston Strangler? Wearing gloves at the pool? Yeah, it's a filthy,
You watch this video and you're just like, yeah, okay, of course this guy went bankrupt. I think he went bankrupt making this video. Hello, hi, welcome to the best show.
Well, I was wondering if I could do a reading from a chapter of Bryan Cranston's autobiography for you tonight.
Yeah, let's hear it. Let's hear it.
Okay, this chapter.
Bryan Cranston. Called... Let me just say, Bryan Cranston, maybe who I believe is a bad actor. I think he's maybe the. And I'm not complaining now. I'm just giving context. Mm-hmm. I think he's a complete. Read the chapter. Go ahead. Go. Let me hear. Not okay. The whole chapter. Read. Just read what you're going to read.
I'll just read the start. This is the book is called A Life in Parts, and it's about the different parts he plays in his life. This chapter is called Lover.
I met. What is it called? What is the chapter called?
Lover.
Lover.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it clean, my friend.
I will. It's clean. I met her at an audition for some TV show whose name I can't remember. She asked me out there and then. Yes, I said. Let's go out. I met her at her apartment. It was a Friday at 7 p.m. I didn't leave until Monday at noon.
All right.
I've never been into drugs. I do drink now and then, nothing out of hand. But that weekend with Ava felt like what I imagine a binge or a bender must feel like. I lost track of time. The idea of spending the weekend, that kind of weekend, with someone you just met wasn't unique back then, but it did take its toll. It's the myth of my generation. Sex creates intimacy. It would take me several more years to discover that the opposite is true. Intimacy creates sex.
All right, get this. This sucks. This sucks. He sucks. The idea that he would put this in a book, it validates everything I feel about him. He's an unregulated blowhard with no compass and doesn't know good from bad. This sucks. He sucks. You suck. I'll pay $50. Hang up on this guy. Congrats. You did it. $300 Hello? For the food bank now. How many calls we got left? Two more?
Best show. Hi.
Hello, how are you tonight, sir?
I'm good. To whom am I speaking?
Calling from Los Angeles, sir.
Who's this now?
It's Andy Kindler. And I just want to say, that guy's wrong about you being a contrarian. You're not a contrarian.
Thank you, Andy Kindler. This is Andy Kindler, the comedian. I just want to say this. First of all, this guy is a national comic.
That's national. True. National.
This guy has filled rooms.
No, not true.
Well, don't.
Half-filled rooms.
This guy has half-filled rooms from coast to coast.
No, more the big cities.
Okay. This guy has half-filled rooms in major cities in the north.
And some of the Midwest. Sometimes Iowa, but I don't draw well.
Some of the Midwest. He doesn't draw well.
You have to repeat it? Why would you repeat that?
Because, what would you think about this, Andy Kindler? Look, first of all, sure. You're one of the funniest people that has ever walked this earth.
Oh, Tom, that's gonna make me cry now.
That's the memo you need to get. Sometimes.
And I should probably respond with something funny, right?
Sometimes the memo, that? No, you don't have to. Sometimes the memo, look, I it's gonna take you a while. I don't have that much show left.
You mean in general or tonight?
No,
zing,
to come
bang.
Up.
Zing,
might be
zing,
both.
Zing.
Look, sometimes, Andy, the memo you truly need to get is the memo that says you're the best.
Oh.
And while there might be a MASH channel, there might be no MASH channel.
There isn't?
No, but there should be a channel. There should be a channel, the Kindler channel. Right?
That's true.
Where they
but
run
you know,
your...
I'm suspicious. When you get... I feel like you could turn on me. Maybe you could turn on me.
Why would I turn? I don't turn on you. Right. You're a friend. I don't turn on a friend. No, look. Here's the other thing. I started a sick rumor. I didn't start it. I don't know who started it, first of all.
My mom is very upset. Let me just say that. Has nothing to do with this, though.
Oh.
I wrote a thing, a joke. I said, my goals as a cartoon voiceover artist, my only goal is to take over for the guy that did the voice on Bob's Burgers of the Mortician, because he passed away. And that's you. And you're alive and well.
That's me. And I am alive. Well, I'm alive. Yeah, but someone wrote back, you know, they were doing this thing. You said I was dead. Other people were happy. And then this guy writes back, goes, Andy Kindler, who did the voice of Mort, is dead? And I said, no, I'm okay. He goes, oh, you haven't been on for a while. Is everything okay? Then he starts going back to how many appearances I've had.
He found a way to make you feel bad about, it's almost like you were telling him the good news. I'm still alive. And he was just like, yeah, haven't seen you on the, haven't heard you on the show a whole lot lately.
Can you believe it? In fact, I woke up, it was at night, and I wanted to make sure I've got to get back to this guy because he's very upset about maybe I'm dead. So I get back to him immediately, ASAP. And then the next morning, oh, you are alive. Yeah. Well, what's happening with you? Anything going
wouldn't
on?
Wouldn't know it by the amount of times you're on Bob's Burgers.
Why do I take the bait? That's bait. I don't even know it's going to be bait.
No, that guy got you. You didn't even realize you liked that type of bait. So I said this thing as a joke, and then I forgot. The problem with this is this is not a text. This is not a text chain between two people. There are tons of people reading this. And then people are like, and first of all, there were some people, some people were like, look, I'm excited that Tom's going to take the thing over. Other people were like, I like Andy better. Other people were like, let's give Tom a chance to do, like, let's let Andy's voice stand on the episodes he recorded already, but let's let Tom.
It was an actual discussion about additional ADR.
I was going to go back in the booth and recut your lines, the way it happened. I think that happened to Louis C.K. on a cartoon he did.
Wait, why do I laugh? All you have to say is Louis C.K., and I start to schadenfreude and laugh.
You love it.
Hey, Louis C.K. Sometimes to cheer myself up, I look on FX, on demand, and just I laugh because his name's not on there anymore.
Yeah. You know, I feel bad about that whole thing is the people who went through, they were on the wrong end of his pervert ways.
No, I
of
do
course.
Too.
But I also feel bad for the dude who used to do the voice. We'd be like, tonight on Louie. The guy who used to do that for FX, he'd be like, tonight's Louie has violence and nudity.
Adult supervision could be adult. If you're upset by it, join the club.
Yeah, that's the guy I feel bad. That guy's like, wait, he did what? Oh, no, this is not good. This ain't good for me.
Used to be Penn Jillette. Remember, for Comedy Central, he was the voice of Comedy Central, Penn Jillette. Can you believe that anyone would want to hear his voice day in, day out?
He was the voice of Comedy Central. Yes.
Yeah, when they first started.
Yeah. Why don't you do more voiceover stuff?
I can't believe it. Penn Jillette, who is nobody likes Penn Jillette. Even the people who are fans dislike him.
Yeah.
He's getting voiceovers.
Yeah.
He's getting the voice. Well, don't you think he would want me to say, tonight on Comedy Central, it's, what do they have there? Crankyakers.
Crankyakers.
10 o'clock.
Tonight on a special Crankyakers, tonight on a special episode of Crankyakers, Robert Klein, pretends to be blind.
Robert Klein, and he calls up initially to say that he can't stop his leg.
Yeah.
And then that goes over, doesn't go over even. And then he owes something else. Crankyakers 911 tonight. Someone dies while fooling around with Crankyakers.
Tonight on a very special Crankyakers. On a very special Crankyakers, we say goodbye to an old friend. Robert Klein is retiring his puppets.
Leg.
his leg, his moving leg. How did that? When people are always like, whenever anybody's just like, oh, the past was better, all you have to realize is that Robert Klein became a multimillionaire by taking a harmonica that he could barely play and doing a couple, like, blues licks on it and then going, I can't stop my leg.
I can't take that gig. I can't take that bit one more time. He will do that forever.
Yeah.
But I mean, I laughed at him, Tom, at some point, I guess, back. Remember, he used to do the dental? You go into the dentist chair, and they got that stalking question mark. That sounds like George Carlin, Klein.
But the comedy of the past, it had, some of it's all right. Some of it's lousy, though.
No question.
The David Brenner, when he's like, I'm on the subway, and then the guy's sitting on the, I'm sitting on the newspaper, and the guy's like, are you reading that? This guy made a living on the thing of that he was sitting on a newspaper, and a guy asked him, are you reading that?
I tell you, he told people, and I hope it's true, that he said that he was the first comedian to reference Guam. Now, maybe that's not true that he said that, but it would be great if it was.
The first comedian.
I said Guam. Nobody else said Guam.
Oh, boy. Really hanging your.
Are you excited about Dennis Miller tomorrow?
What's he doing?
He's coming
tomorrow?
Back.
Is he getting launched into space?
He's going to be on Breitbart. Hey, combining your two favorite things, horrible politics to bad comedy. He's on Breitbart.
Look, this guy. Everybody's like, oh, Dennis Miller. He's like,
who's saying that?
No, but this is what they're saying. Oh no, he's gonna go after the roast lady or whatever. They had some award some Washington D.C. award show. Look, you couldn't pay me to watch these things. This is what I say to that. If you're leaning, you should be cleaning, rather than these people holding some dinner where they are backslapping each other. Why don't you guys get out in the, and why don't you get out and clean a park? Why don't you all you go clean a park, right? Why don't you go build a house for someone? Rather than sit in a banquet hall. I got to sit in a banquet hall and watch Wolf Blitzer send in the clowns, whatever he's doing. Whoa. Like, it's, what is it, a talent show? It's like a reporter talent show.
I'll tell you, this she got them good, and they were laughing at Michelle Wolf until they decided that, oh, she's saying there's something wrong with us now. I've never seen people turn so fast and decide. But it was, I actually enjoyed it very much. I keep thinking I'm going to be asked one. Where's my correspondence dinner?
It's coming. It's coming. Live at the correspondence dinner. Andy Kindler. Tonight.
Hey.
Right?
Tonight with my self-deprecation jokes.
You'll just be like, yeah. I hope you get the job. I'm going to start a thing, Kindler for what's it called now? The Washington D.C. Press Awards or what, talent show?
Well, if you're going to start something, don't you think it's time for either one of us to get the Mark Twain Prize?
Look, I've wrapped my head around this, Andy. I'm not winning anything ever in my life. And I'm happy with that. Because you see these award shows. It's always amazing. These people are like, Beyonce didn't win the thing of course she didn't. Why would she win it? The awards are stupid. They're stupid.
Hey,
why would she win it?
I lost my first award. I was at an award show and I lost the L.A. Web Fest. I was up for a best supporting actor and I lost and I actually got depressed afterwards.
Who did you lose to?
I actually lost to a very funny comic, Brent Weinbach. But he didn't even show up. They said if you show up, it's one of these award shows that go, hey, if you show up, you good chance you could win.
Yeah. 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 So you showed up because you thought they'd give you the thing.
Right. And I started to go, oh, there's no way I'm not winning.
Yeah.
You get your hopes up. You start inflating the award.
Yeah.
My wife said, if you got this award, I would argue about it if you put it on your resume. That's what she said.
That she would argue about you putting the award on your resume.
Yeah. Yeah, she'd say, don't do it. But I got so excited, I started sweating on my palms.
Yeah.
And the winner is, they hooked me. They hooked me now, Tom. Tom, I'm happy.
Well, Andy.
Before I called you, I was a little down. I'm happy.
Why?
Things
Why are you down?
Things are go. No, I wasn't really dumb.
You've got the ability to make people laugh, Andy. That's a rare gift.
But sometimes the clown is sad, Tom.
I know.
Sometimes the clown doesn't share the joy of all of the laughs he brings to his.
There was a story. This is a story. This happened to me, and it's a true story. And I usually don't like to tell things that are so personal like this on the show. I was down also, and I went to my doctor, and I was like, "Doctor, I'm having a hard time lately, and very sad." And the doctor was like, "Well, Tom, I just want to let you know that the great comedian Pete Holmes is performing in town, and many people go see Pete Holmes, and they are cheered up, and they go see him, and they laugh, and my prescription to you is to go see Pete Holmes tonight in concert." And I said, "But doctor, I am Pete Holmes."
I kind of thought maybe I knew that joke, but I didn't remember it. Oh, that is good. Oh.
Oh, Andy. Andy, I love you. I'm glad you're alive. The rumors have been...
Yes.
We're debunking them tonight.
I'm totally fine, and I thank you. You know what? It's better to be joked about that you're dead than to dead joke. Joke.
I never even said the word dead, though. I wouldn't use that word in the thing. I said he passed on or whatever. Like,
yeah, because you're classy. When you do a prank, it's classy.
I'm a classy pranker. I'm like George Clooney on a movie set.
I love every one of those. And then he mailed Tina Fey chicken. I mean, I don't get any of them.
But just imagine, imagine you're on a movie set and George Clooney pranks you, and then you go prank him back. You walked off the lot in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Right?
That wasn't a real bomb. Why is Mr. Clooney upset? I thought it would be hilarious.
Yeah, I just did what he did to me. I smashed his windshield of his car. Just like he
That's
did a
not
prank.
Anthrax.
Yeah,
he it's did. Not a, anthrax.
Yeah. It does.
I love you, Tom.
Andy, I love you too. You have a great night, and you're the best. And at Andy Kindler over at Twitter.
Yes. And if you're not upset, I'll get you upset.
And someone is running the account since Andy is, of course, we all know, is no longer with us.
I believe his estate
is running the account. No,
okay,
he's still here. I know.
You're the king. I love you, Tom. Have a good
night,
man.
All right, buddy. You have a great night. Bye-bye.
Be cool.
Bye. He's a good guy. Mike doesn't like him so much, but I love him. Best show, hi.
With special guest, Sean Clements.
Oh, I like that. Keep going.
And featuring Gary Shandling.
All right, keep going.
And your host, America's Mayor, Rudy Giuliani.
Very good. What's your name, young man?
Kevin.
Where are you calling from, Kevin?
Kalamazoo.
Kevin from Kalamazoo. Top notch.
Hey, thanks, Tom.
Give me one more.
And musical guest, Bruce Hornsby in the Range.
Keep going. Keep going. You're hot. You're hot. Keep going.
Featuring A. Whitney Brown.
Keep going. You're good. It's like that NBA Jam game where the ball would catch on fire. Right now, the basketball's on fire. Keep going.
And special guest, Bill Lambier.
Keep going. You're going. You got it.
And Adrian Dantley.
All right, now you're out of here. Adrian Dantley. They'll think they throw a basketball player at me. I'm just going to swoon. Best show, hi.
Hi, Tom. How's it going?
It's going well. To whom am I speaking?
My name's Brian. I'm calling from Hoboken.
Brian from Hoboken, 07030.
You know it.
What do you got for me? From the Mile Square City, we got Brian in Hoboken.
Just got a quick Don Pardo for you.
Let's hear it.
It's Saturday Night Live with Susan Faludi.
Okay, very good. Keep going.
Tony Kukoc.
Okay.
Marky Post.
Very good.
Aranxta Sanchez Vicario.
Okay. You're hot. Keep going.
Norman Schwarzkopf.
Keep going.
Sal Volcano.
Okay, you're doing good. Keep going.
Ed Christine Todd Whitman.
Give me two more.
Musical guest, Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark. And your host, Jerky.
You did it. You represented Hoboken so well, young man. This is what you
Thank
do.
Thank you very much.
You go and you reward yourself. You walk down the street. You go right down Washington Street and you go get yourself. Go to that first Blimpies. Is that still there?
It's not there anymore.
Okay, then forget that. Go to Benny Tudino's. There's this pizza place where the slices are as big as your head. Are they good? Not really. But you sure get a lot of it.
You absolutely do.
The thing is, it's like, look at the size of that slice. Yeah, it's $7. All they're doing is slicing a pizza in three. They're actually overcharging you because they charged you $7 for a third of a cheese pizza.
It's 100% true.
Yeah, that's why I said it. Am I a liar? Best Show, hi.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, welcome to the Best Show.
How's it going? It's Connor from Manhattan.
Oh, I know this voice. This is not just a call. First of all, let me say, could you guys put the air conditioning on? What are we doing here? What, are you running Bikram yoga out of this place? Don't be afraid to throw the air on, please. This is not just a guy named Connor. I recognize this voice. This is a comedian. This is a national act, as they say.
Tertiary.
Am I correct? This is Connor O'Malley, the comedian. Very talented young man.
I've been told that at the ice cream shop job.
If you're leaning, you could be cleaning.
You got time to clean.
Yeah. I got yelled at. I worked at a diner when I was I started when I was 13. That's right. Working at a diner. That's right. 13. And I got yelled at the owner. I had to you ever go to a diner and they have like the thing with the like the big metal thing that they have milk in. And like they lift up a little handle and the milk comes out of a little tube. But the way that works is there's a huge box that you carry out of the cooler that has like a little hose off of it. And you're supposed to take the huge box, put it into the thing, thread the tube through and then cut it with a steak knife. And I started cutting this thing. It was literally like a Jerry Lewis thing. I had milk going all over. And it wasn't that much milk going. It was some though. This guy came out. He started screaming at me. This was like a Saturday in a diner where it's like there's people where there's like a table for four. I'm like, yeah, that'd be 45 minutes. Like, that's great. Only 45 minutes. So it's like wall to wall people. Every inch has a person in, and they're watching the comedy routine of the owner screaming at a 13-year-old as milk squirts all over the place. Low points.
But were you when you were 13, were you tall? Did you ever grow?
Oh, I was tall enough. Yeah, I was tall enough. I got it. Well, I was definitely, they knew I was 13. There's no mystery to that. I wasn't going there saying like, oh, I'm 17 and I want the job. No, they knew they hired a 13-year-old for the job. And then, the owner, they would give me like a hamburger. I could get like a hamburger, I'm being specific when I say hamburger. I'm not just saying like,
yeah.
It was just like, I remember putting, I put like fried onions on it. Like I asked one of the cooks to put like, can you put some of the fried onions on it? Guy came out and started screaming at me for putting you got fried onions on the thing. Like, it's like, what is this, 9 cents worth of fried onions? And you're gonna yell over it like, oh, those are the days though. They made me who I am, Connor. They made.
Oh yeah.
What's that, Mike? How long did I was there for? 2 years.
Mike, I made it. That's the thing about me. I'll take it and I rise. It's like I rise to the challenge. I'm not going to let this guy drive me out.
At one time I worked at 1-800 got junk, moving junk, and trained a new guy. And on the first day, a heavy kitchen, 1950s, like tube steel kitchen chair dropped two stories on his head.
Oh, no.
And like I ran up. He like had covered his head up. I ran up and I was like, he's like, I'm fine. And I was like, let me see. And he takes his hands off his head and there's a quarter size hole and I can see his skull. And he's like, I'm fine. And I go, I can see your skull.
Oh.
And then he was a trainee and then they took him to the hospital and then they fired him.
Oh. Yeah. Got junk. More like got brain damage.
Yeah, that, it's a good company. I got stock in it.
So, as a stock, look, as an employee, you were horrified by that. But as a as a stockholder, you were like, hey, that's the name of the game. We got to keep those,
That's what makes me such a valuable shareholder is I know what the employees are sucking away from the company. And I'm like, we got to stop their profit sharing. Like, I know how to increase our profits through, like, oppressing them. Yeah.
So you show up at, like, an annual meeting in, like, in like, Reno, Nevada, and you're just like, I'd like to talk about, I know both sides of the street here when it comes to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.
Yeah, I'm their union buster.
Yeah. You have the polo shirt on that says 1-800-GOT-JUNK, but you're also stabbing all of them in the back. So what's going on with you for the rest of the year? What, are you just going to sit back and relax and bask in the glory of
join the Navy, Naval Reserves, serve my country, work on a submarine. I don't have anything going on. I'm hanging out. I have one for the topic.
This is the topic, celebrity encounters. What do you have?
One time we wrote a bit for Bill de Blasio on Late Night.
Uh-huh. Cause you worked on the Seth Meyers show.
Yeah, I got fired for my political views.
That's not true.
That is true.
It is?
Well, there's a G on our paychecks. There's a GS and there was, 25% of our paychecks were going to GS. I said, where is this? Who's GS? And it says George Soros. Funneling all that money.
Uh-huh.
So George Soros.
It was a direct line and you were like a little bit of a whistleblower there.
Yeah.
And did Seth walk you out of the building? Himself?
Personally, walked me out of the building, and they showed me $1,000 cash that he carries on him, and he says, "You see how I got this? I'm a genius, and you're stupid." And then he kicked me in my butt.
So you have Bill de Blasio on the show,
and we go backstage to go over the bit with him, and he asked me my name, and he said, "I'm Connor." And he said, "What's your last name?" O'Malley, and he goes, "That's a seriously ethnic last name." And I just wanted to be like, "That's all you care about, isn't it?"
Look,
but he was the most. I couldn't believe like how he's a he's like 8 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
He's huge,
yeah,
gigantic. He takes up so much space, and he's so just like unimpressive.
So he could, you'd get like a Eric Montrose vibe from him. I don't know if you know who that is.
No, who's that?
He played, was a center for the Boston Celtics back, a Serge Zwicker vibe. I'm making these.
Yeah, he just was like, he was like a vice principal of like a high school.
Uh huh. It was not entirely inspiring.
No, and I just was like, cause even a politician that like you hate when you meet them, like you remember Mancow?
Sure. Very
I
popular.
I saw Mankow on the street once in Chicago, and it was like the most exciting day of my life, and I hated him.
Yeah, it is weird like that. If you see somebody famous and you get super excited that they exist, I guess, is what you, what, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, you see him in the wild or something. It's like seeing like a deer or something like that.
Yeah. Just be like, do you know who that was? That I remember I flew next to Dylan McDermott on a thing, cause, and I'll say this, cause this, I get grief for the, I was in first class because they had to fly me first class for work. That was not the, they respected.
Yeah, our wonderful union, the Writers Guild, fought hard in the 30s with the union, with the auto workers to make sure that when we get job, when we write for award shows in LA, we get first class.
Yeah, this was not anybody saying like, well, we respect this guy so much, we gotta put him in first class. No, they would have had me in one of the dog cages if they could have.
The Haymarket riots, they were all about getting flown out first class.
That was the foundation of it.
Eight hour work day and first class flights.
So I sat next to him and I just like, I don't know two things he was in. And I just said, hey, I'm just a big fan. Like I had to say something that like I thought you have to say to somebody like that. Like, cause we were like sharing the thing, trying to get up, and I didn't say anything to him the whole flight until we were like landing, and I said something like, and now I see him in things, and I'm just like, oh, that's the guy that I said I'm a huge fan of where I'm not. And
I had that once. I saw, Rollins on the street.
Well, I would have been in New York. About that.
And I was like 23, and I was so excited. And it was cold out, and he had a gigantic duffel bag on.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just, like, followed him for, like, half a block, and then I got up next to him.
Yeah.
And I said, excuse me, are you Henry Rollins? And he just, like, super fast went, yes. And I just was like, I'm a big fan. And he went, oh, thank you very much.
There you go.
And that was it.
That was it. You should have challenged him to an arm wrestling competition.
Yeah.
You should have said, meet me in that... Let's go into that prêt-à-manger, and I'll arm wrestle you.
If you're try to find a New York Parks and Rec and see if he wants to, who can max out the most on squats.
Well, I'm going to say this, Connor. You're one of my favorites. You're the real deal. I've got your back. You're going to go the distance. That's all I'm saying.
Tom, back at you, plus 1,000.
Wait till you meet him, Mike. Mike, you're going to like, he's going to scream in your face.
Hello?
Hello, hi.
Hey, got a Don Pardo for you.
What's your name now?
This is Patrick.
Patrick, where are you calling from?
Calling from South Carolina.
South Carolina, let's hear it.
Musical guest. King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard.
Okay, keep going.
And a cartoon by Harmony Korine.
Okay, very good. Keep going.
Featuring the Trachtenberg Family Slideshow Players.
Go.
With Bruce Valanche.
All right.
Marina Abramovich.
All right.
And your host, the Sonic Guys.
That would be a great episode. Who is the musical guest?
Well, King Gizzard.
So it would be an episode of SNL where the Sonic Guys are on stage, and at one point the Sonic Guys go, "We got a great show for you tonight. King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard." What is it again?
King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard.
Yeah, King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard are here. We'll be right back.
But first, a cartoon by Harmony Korine.
Yeah, well, I'm not showing a cartoon that early in the show. What are you, crazy? Remember when Donald Trump first hosted SNL? Do you remember the musical guest? He said, "We've got a great show for you tonight. Toots and the Maytals are here."
Oh, no.
Yes, he literally said that.
Wow.
Bye.
I got a part-o for you.
Let's hear it.
It's Saturday Night Live featuring Brendan Fraser.
Okay, so he's in the cast now.
Of course.
Okay, keep going.
Okay.
Sharon Osbourne.
Okay, another cast member?
Yeah.
Okay, keep going.
John Lithgow.
Keep going.
An animation by Hanna-Barbera.
So they've fallen on hard times and are providing cartoons for Saturday Night Live. Now keep going.
Okay,
a dance competition featuring Bob Barker and Louis Anderson.
Okay. I'd like to see that. Who's the musical guest?
Musical guest, Bruce Willis.
Okay, and?
And your host, Paul Hogan.
This is a pretty good episode. Paul Hogan, Bruce Willis, musical guest. John Lithgow and Sharon Osbourne are in the cast. Hanna-Barbera providing a new cartoon. There's a dance competition portion of SNL now, which is a new segment.
I don't remember seeing that, but I thought it might, I don't know. Could
okay.
help.
My friend, you did it. Thank you. Best show, hi.
Hey, Tom, this is Lee from New Orleans.
Lee from New Orleans. What's up, Lee?
Hey, just hacking, doing some work. Checking in.
What are you hacking?
Oh, some freelance work. I do web development stuff out here. Not chilling in the swamps all the time, but only part of the time.
You like to sit back and drink a cold glass of milk?
Yeah, I love milk. We have many milk producers out here in the swamps.
And do you drink as much till your little belly is full?
I wouldn't say my belly's too little, but yeah, generally.
What kind of advice is that to a 9-year-old to become a quarterback of a team? It's like, yeah, why don't you spend some time practicing throwing a football around? That might be better advice than this kid power lifting a quart of milk every night.
It's a huge assumption on his part about the kid's dietary intake.
Yeah. Hold on one second.
That is a great question, and I love that you're thinking about that. Drink as much milk as your little belly can hold.
Drink as much milk as your little belly can hold. Yeah, or throw a football at two people like a quarterback would and get some arm strength going. This kid's what, his arm's going to be made of milk if he follows this guy's advice, right?
Yeah. At least watch some highlight reels. You know, that's a little bit better advice than drink some milk.
Yeah.
Milk.
Yeah. Exactly. Right? Yeah, we're on the same page. So what's going on tonight?
Not too much. It's gonna kind of gross outside out here in New Orleans. There's no real shows going on or anything, and just doing some work. But I wanted to call in about the topic in particular because I did technically grow up along the bayou, so have, I guess, an opinion about it.
All right, so you're handcuffed now, running from the authorities through the bayou. What are you running through now? You're running through water, right?
Running through marshlands, patting some alligators on the head, saying what's up to some turtles.
Yeah.
You
got those fan boats? Are those fan boats riding around?
Yeah, that's it's funny you say that because when I was growing up, we didn't have the traditional yellow school buses. We had the traditional yellow school buses with those big old fans on the back of them, and they had to get us all the way through the marshland, but we did just
wait,
fine.
Wait, hold on a second. You're going to school when you were down growing up on the bayou. You went to school through the swamps?
You got to get that education somehow.
And but what, the school bus had wheels and a giant fan on the back?
It's like those amphibious vehicles that you see in some cities where you can just like ride somewhere and then go into the lake and hang out there.
When you got to school, did you find out your teacher had e-cigarettes for legs?
No.
Gotcha.
Oh my God.
Gotcha, right?
No.
No. Yes. I gotcha.
I can't weasel my way out of this, Tom.
I gotcha.
No.
How I know it's you? You want to know how I know it's you?
How do you know it's me, my friend?
Simple. You're giving me what I want with every call a little too much.
check the caller ID, buddy. We got a 504 area code right here. That's Wolves.
Yeah, you're probably running through some. You're probably bouncing the thing. You're bouncing it. Yeah, because first of all, you have such a thick Southern accent.
Oh yeah. I don't know what degree of sarcasm there is right there, but look, New Orleans isn't technically the South.
No, but it's in the look when you're in New Jersey, it's the South.
People from here actually have accents closer to New Jersey and Brooklyn than the South, but
you're trying to squirm. I gotcha. I gotcha.
Yeah.
Just admit I gotcha.
Well, I did get some new e-liquid and my e-cigarettes for legs.
Well,
just admit it.
I gotcha.
You got me.
I gotcha. I got him. I got him. And look, I'll say this. First of all, did I get you? It's you, right?
You got Lee from New Orleans. I don't have any cigarettes for legs. And I'm not going to say I wish I did because I really respect my legs.
Now I'm second guessing it. I got you. I got you. It's okay.
Well,
you're one of my favorite callers. You're one of my favorite callers.
That's a high compliment.
But you want to know what? But what? But what? But it's not you.
But, Tom, I just got to let you know that I got to use cigarettes for legs, and I would hang up right now, but I just love this conversation we're having right now.
Well, let me ask you this. Now that I got you, right, and I got you.
You got me.
When the thing that makes me get you, your calls are just too on point. And that's the thing. You are your own, you betrayed yourself. Because, you know why? Every other caller on this show, I've been doing this show since the beginning of time, it feels like at this point right now. And look, I don't care what your name is. I truly don't care. I've had a couple people come up to me and try to rat you out. I didn't want to know. Because apparently you're flapping your gums down there in Philly. You're flapping your gums and you're the e-cigs for legs guy. You got a couple friends that are snitches. So just understand this. Every call on this show, on some level, is imperfect. They ramble. They're not on target. They come in soft and then find the point, or they start off strong and then they start to lose it. You're the only caller who delivers point by point from beginning to end. You know why? Because you're not real. You're just saying what I want to hear. You're not actually because the people who call in and are imperfect, that's because they're humans actually talking about something they experience. You're weaving a tale of fantasy so you can hit it and sound like the greatest call ever because it's not true.
Tom, I do have to admit I rode a regular yellow school bus all throughout elementary school, middle school, and high school. So
That is a big lie that I told you.
You knew I was fascinated by those fans. And so you so you gave me something about an amphibious school bus.
Oh, man.
Well, look, just say, Tom, this is what I want you to say. Hey, it's me, the e-cigs for legs guy. Tom, you got me.
Tom, you got me. It's the e-cigarettes for legs guy, and I'm just delivering on this great content about fan boats.
But you know what I'm going to do? You know what I'm going to do to you now, e-cigs for legs guy?
What you got?
First of all, give me one letter from your name. We're not even going to, I don't want to know your name, just we're going to identify you with one letter now.
L.
L. I'm going to give you till five to get out of here. I'm letting you loose. The hunt can begin again.
Tom, I know this guy is crawling in the skin hearing me masquerade as him, but untruly, I don't wish that it was the e-cigarettes for legs guy.
So it's not
you. Got a fun gig.
All right. Yeah. All right. Goodbye. Best show, hi.
Hey, this is Daniel in Brooklyn.
Daniel in Brooklyn. What neighborhood are you in, Daniel?
I'm in Williamsburg.
All right. Let's hear what you got, buddy.
All right. Featuring LT.
Lawrence Taylor?
Yes.
Okay, so New York Giant legend Lawrence Taylor is in the cast of the show.
He's a performer.
Okay. He's a featured player. Keep going.
Federico Castelluccio.
Who's that now?
Furio from The Sopranos.
Okay. So Furio and LT. This is one of those transition years for SNL.
Yeah.
Clearly. Keep going.
Carol
Spinney from the Monty Python sketches. Oh no, Carol Spinney is Big Bird.
Big Bird.
That's right. I'm thinking of Carol Cleveland. Keep going.
Musical guest, Anthony Kiedis and the E Street Band.
That begs 500 questions when you find out that Anthony Kiedis is fronting the E Street Band right now. Then there are questions like, did Bruce Springsteen fire the E Street Band? Is Bruce Springsteen still alive? Why is Anthony Kiedis solo now? What happened to the other Red Hot Chili Peppers? Are the E Street Band cool with this, or is this a temporary thing? It's like, that is... You just created the biggest question mark imaginable that suddenly you'd be like, what's going on? Why is Anthony Kiedis fronting the... Oh, my God. Keep going.
And your host, Ernie Anastas.
Local newsman Ernie Anastas. You. Well, what's your name again?
Daniel.
Daniel, where are you calling from?
Brooklyn. Williams.
Oh, that's right. Daniel, you just stole my heart away, Daniel. You just captured my heart. Very funny young man. Mate. That was great. That was unbelievable. Can you believe that, Mike? You like that? E Street Band. He's with the Bruce Springsteen's gone. And now who knows why? I don't know. That was great. That charmed me to no end. Thanks again for listening to Best Show Best. Much thanks to Jason Gore. Pat Byrne, Martine Celis, Brendan McDonald, AP Mike, and of course, John Worster. Who else? Marcia Neumeier, and yeah, you, the best show listener. Thank you. And if you like this, check out the full show every Tuesday night from 9 p.m. to midnight at thebestshow.net. And support the best show, patreon.com/thebestshow. Thanks so much for listening. Goodbye.